We've got James Belfi, who is the co-founder of, I hope I pronounce this right, Vugo.
That's correct.
Just yes. Like
Hugo I got Boss.
Hugo Boss, Vugo Boss. We got Vugo's Boss. So welcome to the show. We're kind of having a conversation here about leadership and about being able to make things happen even though people don't want you to make it happen, or they don't like it, or they don't think that you're, you know, can do it or whatever. And you're in one of those businesses that it seems like there's been some struggles, and you could have very easily folded the tent and been like, well, I guess I'm not wanted here. But instead, you just kept on flying through it.
Yeah, we've come to consider that kind of a badge of honor. We feel that it's kind of, somebody feels so strongly about this one way or the other, there may be a market there.
There has to be.
And that means there's immense amounts of value, because you have to ask, what are their motivations? What are their incentives? And, you know, just to be perfectly clear about what I think you're talking about, yeah, the most obvious examples of this are both the city of New York and the city of Chicago. I was living in Chicago when we started Vugo, but we incorporated in Minneapolis because the city of Chicago had made our business illegal before we even got started.
Yep.
And so I still come here often. I've got a network here. I've got friends, family. But I had to relocate to Los Angeles to be able to operate in a large major American market.
And what you do, just so everyone's clear,
yeah,
what Vugo does.
So we do, surprisingly, this happens in Chicago, yep, but the way we do it, it's particularly illegal. We do in-car entertainment and media, specifically in rideshare services. So we put ads and entertainment inside Uber and Lyft vehicles. And other, there's like 42 different companies across the United States that do ride sharing, Uber and Lyft just being the two largest ones. That's what we do in a nutshell.
Why is that something that is illegal in? Let's just stick with Chicago for the sake of.
And also, did Chicago make that ruling when they caught wind of you, or is it just a coincidence?
It's definitely not a coincidence. You don't typically make a municipal ordinance because of a coincidence.
Yeah.
They didn't do it because of us. We formed our company after the ruling had – the municipal ordinance had occurred. I can't name any names here,
sure,
but I'll tell you that I tried to work my network as much as possible. Got some informal information from the city of Chicago about the reasoning behind it. And really what you had was two big piles of money sitting at the table, neither of which had recently read the Constitution.
Yeah.
So no names.
Isn't it funny how that works? The bigger the bag of money, the less likely it is that they read nor give a shit about the Constitution.
That's correct.
It's a very funny circumstance we have.
But the good news is that the Supreme Court recently had a ruling on commercial speech that actually supports our arguments, and the fact that, you know, it's a really slippery slope when you start inhibiting an organization's ability to advertise.
Sure.
And more importantly, the public's ability to access information.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a no-no. That this, if there was one thing, listen, this country might have been built on a whole bunch of shit. I don't know. You know, it seems like every day it's like seems like a little more stuff gets taken away or whatever. But the one thing that we have always kind of stood on is the fact that you have freedom of information. You live here with the ability to find out. Now, whether you choose to learn it and find it out is your own problem, but we live in a place where you can find it out.
Yep.
And it's no doubt to me that, like, at some point that's got to be flipped if it hasn't already, because you can't – I honestly, surprises me that the big bag of money that is the corporations who want to advertise, that they would allow that to happen. Because, like, I would think that for any major company, they would want the ability to get inside of that car.
Yeah, I'll tell you, there's a lot of advertisers that are very interested
in
accessing that car and accessing the data and getting in front of passengers at the right time, at the right place, right before they make purchasing decisions.
And that's a good thing for you.
Which is great for me. The only problem is that there seems to be a monopoly on in-car advertising in the city of Chicago with taxis.
Yeah, and they play the same loop constantly, and you know, a little secret for them, in case they're wondering. I don't know if this might not help. I hope this helps your case, but you know that the taxi drivers, almost everyone I've ever been in the city of Chicago, the very second that you get in the car when it starts rolling, if you don't say or do anything, they reach their hand around and they hit the off button. And most of them do it on the first touch. They don't even have to shake their hand because they do it so often.
There's a couple of reasons for that. The first being that they don't really see much incentive from that.
Sure.
The second one being is that the passenger entertainment experience is not the focus of taxi entertainment. It's actually credit card processing.
Yeah.
That's the reason why there's taxi TV. It has nothing to do with entertainment. It has very little to do with advertising. It has almost everything to do with subsidizing the cost of credit card processing machines. And so what Viugo's done is we've said, hey, yes, there's a model that does in-car advertising inside, you know, taxis, but it's fundamentally broken, just like the taxi industry was fundamentally broken. Yep. So why don't we change something? Say our first priority is improving the passenger entertainment experience, because here's a big news flash for everyone listening. You're going to be still, average American spends 1 hour in the car daily.
Yep.
Okay, I was talking to your account executive in there. He spends almost 3 hours in the car daily.
Old Bob.
Okay.
Old Bob, he's always driving around.
So
3 hours a day.
I want to ask you, what would you do with 60 hours a week that you're stuck in a car? What would you do if you're sitting at a room in
I'd
your
I'd listen
house?
To the Technori podcast. That's
well,
what I'd
yet,
do.
You'd watch Technori
well,
podcast.
Well, yeah, I would, but if I wasn't driving, yeah, I'd watch it even better.
Well, autonomous vehicles are right around the corner.
They are true.
And you're not going to be driving in radio. I'm glad you guys are doing video now.
Yeah. We've been doing video since the get-go. I did video as I was doing our first podcast.
Fantastic. Car radio without video is probably going to go away.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, already electric cars don't even have AM, so already, like, and there has been no pushback on that. Like, yep. I said that numerous people, like, if you get a Tesla, you don't have AM radio, and they're like, not one person's like, son of a. They're just like, oh, that's weird. And then they just keep walking right on by.
What there are actually some large investors who own both car dealerships and radio stations, and I'm really trying to get in front of them because both those industries are going to
You're the person who's going to be able to help them out.
Yeah, because in-car entertainment's going to be visual. It's going to
well,
be
Well, yeah, it has to be.
I'm no longer driving my car. I want to watch a movie. Even in Teslas today, you can actually watch Monty Python clips.
Yes, which is awesome, and that gigantic screen.
Yep.
So I'm going to pitch you on an idea. You probably already have it, so it won't matter. And then we're going to talk a little bit about building a company that was put out, you know, that was ruled to put out of business before you actually filed the paperwork. Because it's very rare that we get to sit down with somebody who has not voluntarily, you have taken on a mission to build a company where there is preset barriers. And it was just sort of like, beep, don't care, keep going. So first, here's my pitch. I had this idea, and it was basically because of you, as we had a couple of messages back and forth, and you were talking about your business. And I thought, if I could, I was thinking like in airplanes. Choice to watch a movie? No. I'm not going to spend whatever it is for their movie. Even if it's like, maybe if it's a long flight and I don't have my computer or whatever, I might like buy it. But for the most part, I'm not going to. I'll just like tell myself in my head that I can read or do something else. But if you start playing a movie or you start playing Seinfeld or something, and even in a cab, I'm not going to pay for a 5-minute ride to start something. But what if you started playing an episode of a show I liked and it was like 99 cents more, I can keep watching it as I keep the ride. I would absolutely click on that that gets added on to my credit card bill at the end of it. If you put content that was quality enough in there to keep me from listening to that dude talking to his friend in whatever country they're in, which every single driver's on the phone the entire time talking to somebody else, and it drives me insane. And I could actually watch a game or watch the news or watch something, I would absolutely hit the keep going and add a dollar to my ride fare almost every time. Would that work? And can I get a piece of it?
So I got a little bit of goosebumps here because we have not actually thought of that before.
I knew I had this job for a reason.
However, I will
However, it
you,
won't work.
No. It absolutely,
I mean, there is some rights issues, but...
It'll absolutely work. In fact, it actually might have solved some fundamental problems that we've had. So I really appreciate that.
Well, keep me posted on how that works.
Heart, keep that me posted on how that word. Works. What I heard from an investor in Los Angeles, word for word, he said, why don't we just charge $1 per trip for premium content?
Yep.
And that mechanism that you just described is probably one of the best ways to do so.
Well, hey, you know what? If there's ever room for me on your board, you just let me know. I got more of these ideas. So thank you. That was the first thing I thought of. When you first started talking to me just about your business and I looked it up, I was like, man, the first thing that came to my mind is all the times that I would love to, I would listen to stuff, but I would never select it.
Yep.
It would only be something where it's like an opt to stay.
Yep.
Which is sort of we do that with our advertising. That's actually, I probably shouldn't say this on the show, but the original show before Technori that I started, the first sponsorships I got were, I just bullshitted my way through. I started a show and I said, this segment's sponsored by Insperity. And then I called up Insperity and was like, hey, this show got shared, 600 times. You want a different sponsor? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, boom, pay to stay. And that was my model. So I just literally just started calling out sponsors that I thought would appreciate the content, call them up and say, I sponsored you in this thing, got shared a bunch of times. I'm sorry, we should have called you first, but I'll pull it down. Yeah. Unless you want to pay whatever, and then I'll do it again.
So,
and they would all pay to do it again.
In the content rights world, I don't feel like taking that kind of risk.
No, probably not.
Agents are actually in
Chicago.
Well,
no, I wouldn't do that with the actual content. No, I wouldn't do that with the content. What I was referring to is the mechanism in people's brains.
It's genius.
Where if you put it in front of them, they'd rather do it.
And we will probably implement that.
So speaking of the business and being ridiculously smart, you are one of the few people, a lot of people, not that you're the only one who's done this, but a lot of people in tech and in startups in general, doesn't that just be tech, tend to solve problems that, in my personal opinion, are already solved or are being addressed. And it sort of like irks me. And Howard Tolman and Fred Hoke from TechNexus actually just had a story. I don't know if it was Forbes or Inc. or where it was that just came out. No, Chicago Inno. It was local. It was Chicago Inno. About the fact that Chicago's success the last 18 months has been a lot to do with the fact that we refound ourselves and stopped trying to emulate the coast and stopped doing the easy thing and started looking at what we do best and actually try to solve problems that are real problems rather than like, what's the next, you know, pet my dog app? Like, what's the next, you know, find a date with a bagel app? And you decided right off the bat, very talented, smart guy, can do just about anything you want to do, decided I'm going to launch a company around something that's literally being prohibited by law in two of the biggest markets that I plan on reaching. One, were you crazy? And two, like how did you formulate your business plan around knowing that the first or second, third thing you have to accomplish is breaking down barriers?
So I wish I could say it's because I'm brave. I would say it's probably because I'm stubborn. When we got started, we put up a landing page. We built a minimum viable product. We assembled a small team. Then we got lucky, and we got covered by Adweek. So this is
good start.
Yeah. In fact, the reporter actually told me she wasn't going to publish our article. And then 2 weeks later, my phone exploded. I didn't know why. I was like, why are people calling me? Why do I have 100 missed calls today? And the very first call I actually picked up was a very large publisher of Nationwide magazine and said, hey, we really want to reach people in Beverly Hills. But Beverly Hills has a ban on billboards in L.A. And if you're in L.A., if you don't have billboards, you're not really able to reach that market. Yeah. They're like, hey, we want to put our advertisers inside vehicles.
And they sit in traffic in L.A. for about 45 minutes to go a half mile.
Yep. With that said, that was just one of the conversations that I had out of maybe 50, 60 conversations with entities of that size. So I realized, hey, we just released some pressure. It's like, you know, there's this massive amount of demand on the advertiser side. And we just pricked it with a needle. Like, yep. We just barely touched it. They read about us in one article. And boom, my phone melted. There's unmet demand in this space that people are spending their time in cars. It's not time that's being fully utilized. And I mean, advertising is just the easiest.
So you look at this as just like laying the tracks so that you're there for the future, ready to roll.
Actually, we are very much focused on the infotainment space and becoming the software supplier of autonomous automakers.
Knowing full well that that's where things are going.
Absolutely.
So it's like we have to lay the track. We've got to prove our model. We've got to prove the use case. We've got to raise some capital, get an infrastructure, a team in place, and actually work together as a team so that when things start to pivot and the new Apple car comes out, you're rocking and rolling with Apple TV content rolling out of the car.
That is exactly correct. I'd say that there's a few steps in between there.
Yeah, I would say a few, yeah.
But the biggest thing is data.
Yeah.
How do passengers who are no longer driving their cars interact with media and entertainment and advertising? And how can we monetize their attention? That is really like it's a blue ocean out there.
Yeah.
Outside of taxi TV, which we all hate, drivers hate, everybody wants to turn it off. But that doesn't mean that people don't want to be entertained inside cars. It means that the current—
just do a better job.
Yeah, just do a better job. There's never been, like, those businesses literally thrive on monopolies. They get the city of Chicago to mandate credit card processing. The taxi companies don't want to pay for the equipment, so they subsidize the equipment by advertising, giving NBC and ABC a loss leader to promote their program.
Yep. The one thing that I'm this is to show you exactly how far into the weeds my brain goes. As I think about autonomous cars, the only thing I'm thinking about is that there's a brand new purpose for tinted windows.
I'm not going to respond to that
You know where I'm going with this. Because, like, you can just see.
I think a lot of people are going to sleep in the car as well.
Yeah, that's part of it. Well, no, there will be lots of things going on in the car. I can't help myself because I think of it. I'm like, most people are creeps. Most people would be, like, driving around like, oh, that's a pretty big screen. My wife's at work. I'm alone. I don't know.
You know, one of my favorite, so in this space, I just want to say there's lots of room. It's literally one of the few trillion-dollar marketplaces that is just sitting out there. Just sitting out there. Everyone can see it every day. They get in their car. They get into an Uber. They get into a taxi. They get into a bus, wherever. Guess what? Market is just sitting there. It's over. Intel said the passenger economy is going to be $7 trillion. Bloomberg came out with an article saying $1.5 trillion for data-driven services that are going to help occupants utilize their time inside autonomous vehicles. So it's a trillion-dollar market just sitting out there.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about how much time, like you said, with reference of Bob, 60 hours. Like, how much time? What could you do with that time? I mean, for me, I'm thinking the one thing that's a benefit of the train is that I get a lot of work done on the train. I'd get some work done in the car, but if I'm worked done in the car, that's more subscriptions to shit that I can buy. Right, yeah. That's more stuff that I can use and buy and add to the economy. So, smart man, you got something going on here for sure. I know where this is going. I see it like you do, maybe not as fine tuned certainly as you see it because you do it every day. But I absolutely, as a person who's in the content generation world, see this as like a great window for us to place our content. And we definitely, like, we were just meeting with companies today about different types of apps that are convey content in a very different way that people are not used to yet. And if I sold it to someone now, they'd be like, what a waste. But in a year from now, they're going to be like, that's like the only way I consume.
That's the one thing with autonomous cars is the adoption is going to be
it's going to be insane. It's like, it's as if you went, this is what I related to. In the media world, this impact is going to be as if I just told you that there's now 27 hours in the day. If I told you you have 27 hours in the day, I just gave you 3 more hours of daytime to compact and sell shit to me. And that's what you did.
And or call your mom.
Whatever you want to do. But even that's another subscription. That's another minutes on your phone. That's another phone. That's now it's voice. You're going to FaceTime on your car.
Yep.
And which means while you're on the car FaceTiming, you're going to be on your phone texting and doing other stuff.
Yep.
So it's just like three hours just created.
A lot of people ask us, what about the mobile device? I'm like, the phone is a secondary screen.
Yep.
It's not your primary. When you go home and you're watching TV, are you watching programming on your phone the entire time? No, you have a big screen in your house.
This is like my remote.
Because if you spend 60 hours a week like Bob inside your car, it's going to get really boring if you don't have something to do.
Yeah.
If you're no longer actively driving, what are you going to do? You're going to watch sports. You're going to listen to podcasts. You're going to watch music videos.
I will say it's crazy. To give you an example of this is real time. I spent this whole weekend painting with my girlfriend. We're painting up everything and paint the everything. It sucks. I'm never going to paint again. I'm retired. I break my paintbrush over my knee when I'm done. But we took the TVs and stuff down and took all kinds of couches and covered so we didn't paint it. And for the first time in forever, I literally listened to the radio for 4 days straight. It was awesome. I'll never do it again, but it was awesome. So it's just like kind of shows like, and then we turned it back on. We got the TVs back on and everything else. And now I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Just imagine if I could bring you that feeling of amazement into your drive or whatever else.
It's just like in-flight entertainment.
Yep.
It's a really easy comparison and model. It's very similar. Flights feel a lot shorter when you're watching a movie or watching TV inside the plane. We want to bring that.
Depends on who you're sitting next to, but yeah. For the most part.
We want to bring that same experience to the car. Now, I want to blow your mind one more step where I don't know if you've gone this far, if you read these articles yet, but mobility as a service or transportation as a service, Viewgo's mission is threefold. Our overarching big hairy problem that we're trying to solve is we want to make most transportation free through an advertising model, meaning that if you're a single mom trying to get to work back and forth, we want to make your trip free. We want to remove transportation insecurity from the marketplace. And we do that literally by becoming a marketplace.
Yep.
So we're starting low-hanging fruit with media, video, ads, but we want to become the Amazon
engine
of the car,
essentially. Very cool. Well, the logo makes more sense even more now. Very cool. Where do people
go?
This is what I figured. I was like, now it makes a lot of sense. If you flip it upside down, it's like they look like eyeballs. It's different.
Yeah.
At any rate, where do people go to learn more about this and kind of keep up with what you guys are working on?
They can go to www.govugo.com.
Okay.
govugo.com.
Very cool. James, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Take care.